Kia ora tātou, nau mai hoki mai ki te kōnai ipurangi a Māori in Engineering. Ko tēnei te hōtaka, te tekau māwhitu. Kia ora, welcome back to another episode of the Māori in Engineering podcast. This is episode 17. This episode we kōrero with Lincoln Timotiao. Lincoln is, among other things, a papa, a husband, an engineer, a consultant, and a student of Te Reo Māori where he attends kura at Te Wānanga o Aurokoa in Ōtaki. This episode takes a bit of a different format to the other ones, so we start to share kōrero on his life at the moment, so where he is now in Rūmaki Reo in Ōtaki, and then we go on to more about his journey into engineering and things like that. So if you think it's a little bit weird or you've skipped to the end of the episode where you think that the engineering stuff usually comes at the start, kei te pai tera, it is all good. Keep on listening and I hope you enjoy it. This kōrero is all about taking time for your identity and the power that that has within the space as well. Hoi anō, that's enough from me. Let's get into the episode. Ngā mihi nui ki a koutou katoa. Enjoy!
Whakataka te hau ki te uru, whakataka te hau ki te tonga, ki a mākina kina ki uta, ki a mātaratara ki tai. E hia ki ana te ātākura, he tio, he huka, he hauhu, tihei, mauri ora.
Mauri ora. Tēnā koe e hoa. How you doing? Kei te pihi a koe?
E orana. Kei te pai. Everything is well. I'm at the Wānanga enjoying class.
Awesome.
Family are healthy.
Kei te pai tira. That's awesome. That's awesome. Oh, well, thank you very much for coming on to the Māori and Engineering podcast today or this afternoon. It's 3 p.m. on a Thursday and you've finished kura for the day. And just, yeah, really appreciate your time in sharing your story. And I'm really excited to have what you have to say put out there on this platform. So, ko te mihi nui ki a koe iwa.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Mihi nui ki a koe, Elise, for providing this opportunity for us to discuss. And mihi ana ki e rātu, who have also been on here as well.
Aye. Cool. Alrighty. First question that I ask all manukiri that are on the podcast. Ko wai koe, no hia koe.
This question is quite complex for me. some people may call me a fruit salad. So he rio no Ngāti Raukoa, Ngāti Tō, Te Ate Awa, Ingirani, Airani, I te taha o tōku māma, I te taha o tōku pāpā, no ngā motu o tōke lau. So I've got quite a few connections to different places. On my mother's side, her father is Māori, and he's from the Kapiti Horowhenua region. Those iwi, Ngāti Raukoa, Ngāti Tō, Te Ate Awa. And then my mother's mother, she's New Zealand European, with links back to England and Ireland. Then my father, he's from Tokelau, New Zealand born Tokelau, so I'm a third generation Pacific immigrant. So yeah, those are all my fruit of the fruit salad bowl.
Yeah. Cool. And whereabouts did you grow up?
This is another tricky one for me too. I've lived in so many places with so many different members of my family. Although I was born in Auckland, I spent most of my early childhood in Ōtaki with my mum, and then in Upper Hutt with my dad and my nana. And then for a brief period of time in Kawerau, and schooled in Rotorua for a few years before returning back to Upper Hutt. So yeah, most of my childhood has been in the Wellington area, but I have spent some time in Kawerau in Rotorua, which was really awesome up there. I enjoyed living with different members of my family. I got to learn a lot about my Māori side, my Pākehā side, with my mum, and also my Tokelauan side with my nana, my dad. And then also got to meet a lot of different people living in all those different places. And it's cool. I still get to see a lot of them, especially now that I'm back in Ōtaki. I've been back for a few years now, but it's good to reconnect with a lot of people. I see a lot of them at the Wānanga and in the sports that I play.
Yeah, awesome. So you're based in Ōtaki at the moment. What are you like to now in Ōtaki?
Yes, so I'm studying at Te Wānanga Raukawa. I'm studying Heke Reo, which is a full immersion Te Reo Māori course. I must add, me ona tikanga, so it's not just about learning Te Reo, it's also about learning tikanga Māori as well. I started this year after working in Ōtaki with Fletcher Construction, and I was working with them for 6 years, but now it's a good opportunity for me to, yeah, really delve deep into the reo journey that I've been on for a long time, but now it's at a stage where I'm, yeah, full immersion, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, awesome. And have you done a little bit of te reo Māori learnings through, like, kura pō, and different courses and stuff already?
Yeah, so I guess I'll, to start off, when I was a child, I learnt a little bit in the home, and I've always been in bilingual units, so I've always learnt a little bit there. And then at high school as well, I studied te reo Māori. Once I finished high school, I've enrolled into online learning, so I've done a little bit of that, but I've always felt like I haven't quite grasped enough real from online study. So it's always been an interest of mine to go into full immersion.
Yeah. What was it that you think that you didn't grow up like? What were the factors, I suppose, at play that felt or lended towards you not feeling like you grasped it during those kind of off and on times?
I think a lot of it was my own fears. Yeah, definitely a lot of shyness, fear to, you know, speak. And with all those short courses or online courses, you don't have as much opportunity to hear people talk and to speak to them and to practice your reo. I think that's the biggest thing that's sort of held me back, is not being immersed in it enough to be able to practice it enough.
How has it been being immersed in it and up until now, like for this year?
It's been amazing. I found it challenging to, when I leave class, to switch my thinking and my language back to English, because I've had to, I still have to use the English language. It's the world that we live in at the moment. When I'm at the Wānanga, it's been great. There's 100 other first-year students and about 40 second- and third-year students combined. So there's about 140 of us who are on the same waka.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Same purpose, the same goals, and we're all working together on that reo waka. So, you know, it's a really warm place to be. Despite our differences in levels of reo, we're all working together. We all have the same understanding that we are going to make errors. Mm. We still make errors, and we're going to continue to make errors. But it's with those errors that we keep learning, and we're learning together. So it's really great place to be, and it's hard leaving sometimes because transitioning back the thoughts, and the language, to English.
Mm. Yeah, I can imagine. Like we were saying before we started, before we hit record on this episode, actually, about how it might feel a bit whiplashy. Transferring back, which is hard when it's the way it is at the moment. But I hope with everyone, because personally for me, like my goal is to one day enroll in a full immersion Te Reo Māori course like yourself. So this is why I'm like super excited personally to talk to you. And so then one day that maybe we could come back and do this interview with Te Reo Māori instead of I Te Reo Pākehā. So I think that's something to acknowledge as well for people who are listening, who people within their lives and circles, say whether that's at mahi or other circles, who are going through the haringa of, or the journey of reclaiming their language and doing what you're doing, that there is that challenge there innately within it. So just wanted to point that out. But what has it been like to really prioritize the reclamation of te reo? Like, what made you come to this decision?
Oh, it's been a privilege for me that I can learn the language of our ancestors. Yes, we have discussed before, there are challenges that everyone faces, some of it being fear, shyness, some of it being time, because it takes time to learn, it takes time to be immersed in the language, to do the assignments that we need to do. I can understand there are so many barriers, and the barriers that that I had to go through myself, having a family with three kids, taking time away from work, especially with the field that we work in, can be quite demanding, and that we're always working and upskilling, continued professional development. It's really hard to put that career on hold when it's something that is really interesting to us, and continuing to stimulate our minds. But this is something that's been important to me for a while now, and although it's taken me some time, I find it to be really important for the next generation, that we can really allow them to be able to speak freely in Te Reo Māori anywhere in New Zealand, in Aotearoa. So it's been really hard for me to put myself into that situation, and make mistakes. It's really hard for me to be in that environment where there's a great chance that I'll be making a lot of mistakes, where I don't have the opportunity to, write it down, prepare what I'm going to say beforehand. But at the same time, it's how the next generation learns. That's when they're immersed in the reo, that's how they learn. That's how we learn any language that we learn. So I feel really privileged that I get this opportunity, that my whānau and I are able to make it work.
Mm.
And I hope I can continue to learn te reo me ona tikanga, so that we can provide more role models for our tamariki.
Aye. And has this been something you've been planning I don't know, for people, say people who are listening and have really wanted to step into this, haven't really, don't feel quite ready, is it something that you felt ready for? Like, is it, do you feel as though anyone ever feels ready for this, or do you feel as though you just need to kind of act without really thinking too much about it, and then once you're in, you're like, yes, this is amazing kind of thing?
I would definitely encourage anyone who wants to do it to go for it. It's quite interesting that you mentioned that, because there's quite a few older people on this course. Even for myself, it's taken a few years longer than I would have liked to. I have purposely put it off out of fear. But it's gotten to the point now where I knew I needed to just jump in. There's a proverb, tūwhiti a te hopo, he whakatauki. From my understanding, the translation for that is to feel the fear and do it anyway.
Mm.
Understand that, you know, it's going to be beneficial. It will come with challenges, but kōkiri, go for it. Karawhiua.
Karawhiua. Aye.
So I can see there is somewhat of a common theme. There are a couple of young people there, by the way, but a lot of the students, they've been to uni, they've had careers. There are some people there who have been supported by their employers, which is really awesome to see. You know, it's gotten to the point where they've needed to do this. It'll be great where we wouldn't have to wait so long to be given the opportunity. And I sure hope that other people get more opportunity to do this.
Mm. Nah, that's awesome. And you said something about in terms of you're learning not just kupu Māori, but you're learning about tikanga Māori, the history. You were saying earlier, before we press record, that one of your recent assignments was on the history of te reo Māori. For those listening who don't quite know the kind of the hardships in the history of te reo Māori, would you be able to give a brief overview? I know this is kind of a mean question because I'm asking you to like reflect on your assignment that you've just done.
Cool, yeah. So just a brief summary, and I think it's probably the most important, is, you know, pre-colonialism, everyone in Aotearoa was speaking te reo Māori. Early European settlers, they would have to learn te reo Māori to communicate in Aotearoa. They were the whalers, the sailors, the missionaries, and some of the people who came to represent England to negotiate te tiriti o Waitangi. Following that, there were laws enacted from the government, a government that didn't have representation from Ngā Iwi, and these laws were such as the Native Schools Act,
mm-hmm.
which prevented Māori speaking in their native tongue in any school, Tōhunga Suppression Act. Those are just to name a couple, and those were some of the things that happened that enabled Māori to think that they didn't need their language. And it got to a point where Māori thought, you know what, a lot of them thought that we don't need to speak this language anymore. Supplementary to that, at the same time, more settlers were coming from Europe, and so the European population would exceed the Māori population.
And I suppose what always, because what always blows me away is how not that long ago Māori became an official language of Aotearoa, 1987. So, like, that always, to think of it not that long ago at all.
Yeah, we are. I understand we're still seeing a great number of initiatives coming into play, but we're still at a really dangerously low level.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stats suggest that the language is still in decline.
Oh, okay.
Which is, it's really sad to hear, considering it's the language of our tupuna.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a language that a lot of our people still speak, and a lot of our children are learning at kōhanga, at kura kaupapa, and in mainstream schools as well.
Mm. All right, well, one toll at a time.
Kia ora mai tātou. Just checking in here. I actually used my wrong Zoom account when recording this with Lincoln, which meant that we had to cut that off because it only had like 30 minutes of recording, so we had to cut it there and then start again on another one. So if this next corridor is a little bit whiplashy, that is why. Just technical difficulties, etifano. All good. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Ngā mihi nui, kia koutou katoa.
So how do you think learning Māori can be beneficial as an engineer?
That's a great question. My thoughts are when you learn te reo Māori, you learn about the tikanga as well. And some of them being, which are really close to us, the tangas, which you may have heard, manaakitanga, rangatiratanga, whanaungatanga, kaitiakitanga, just to name a few.
Mm.
It's something that we hold quite close to our way of living, te ao Māori. By understanding those, we can understand each other better and work better with each other.
And I've often heard that te reo Māori is just the gateway, or is the gateway to unlock te ao Māori as well, because Pākehā, or te reo Pākehā, is so, what I find really beautiful about te reo Māori is that one word often can't be directly translated to te reo Pākehā, because it means so much more, and there's so much depth, and there's so much history to each word, that by speaking Māori, you understand all of that history as well, just by speaking Māori, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So you are an engineer. How has, I suppose my first part is, how are you fitting being an engineer with learning te reo Māori as well?
At the moment, I'm working part-time as a freelance engineer, so working for myself, and at the same time, I've got a part-time role with Te Wānanga Raukawa. I approached them, and they're generous enough to support me on my reo journey by providing some part-time work as a consultant, advisor, with some of the construction work that's going on there at the moment.
Awesome.
I've had to put my full-time work on hold for the time being. This is something, like I mentioned before, it's much more important than any career. This is my identity.
Exactly. And I think if as a summation to this whole hiding, I like the phrase, it's my identity, is perfect. Yeah. What made you study engineering in the first place? What was that like?
Similar to many other people, I had interest in maths, which sort of led to physics, and then with those two subjects sort of led me to engineering. I did always have an interest as a child in how things worked, how things were made, played with a lot of Lego and Kinects.
Yeah.
Single child for 10 years of my life. So yeah, I've had a natural interest in those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it was somewhat of a natural fit for me to continue onto that path for towards engineering.
Yeah, cool. And whereabouts did you study engineering?
This is quite an interesting story too. I actually started at Victoria University.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I wasn't too interested in the specializations they provided. So it was between Canterbury and the new University of Auckland for me. And at the time that I needed to make my decision, it was shaking down south. So that kind of made it easy for me.
Yeah.
So UOA, Auckland.
Yeah. Fair enough. So, because what do they provide at Victoria University?
It's mostly computer-based specializations.
Oh, yeah.
I think network, software, electronic and electrical.
Okay, right. So, yeah.
Very a few years ago, so things could have changed.
Yeah. Oh, hardly. Nah, cool. And what was your journey at UOA, like University of Auckland? What was like, or experience like? I need to stop saying journey, I think. Experience like?
It was different for me. I didn't have too many professionals in my family. So being surrounded by students who were working towards degrees in various different things, but mostly in engineering, it was a new world for me, but it was something that I was to complete, something that I wanted to get done. I wanted to better myself in that regards. At the same time, it was quite challenging at times, the uni life.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I'm really happy that I made it through. Done the mahi, got the treats, and was able to secure a role.
Yeah. Amazing. And did you always, did you study civil engineering?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know that you wanted to do civil engineering off the bat? Is that what it's like in Auckland? You need to decide your...
Yeah. So, yeah, after the first year, you need to decide what specialisation you want to do. And it was something that really interested me, the mechanics and statics side of things, having to look at the different properties of different materials for buildings and structure and figure out the most efficient way to design it, put it together.
Cool, yeah. And was your first role from uni, was that at Fletcher's or Fletcher Construction?
Yes. I got an internship with Fletcher Construction at the end of my third year, and they offered me a full-time role once I graduated.
Mm.
And yeah, so straight with them, and I had been with them ever since.
Cool.
I finished uni.
Yeah, awesome. Wicked. And now here you are. That's so wicked.
Yeah, it's a massive change of scene. I can tell you that.
Yeah. What was your role as a at Fletcher Construction? Were you a site engineer or?
Yeah, I started as a graduate site engineer, transitioned into a site engineer, and finished as a senior site engineer.
Oh, nice. I was going to say, so you're spending a lot more time indoors, I imagine.
By the end of it, I was spending most of the time in the office, but still got to visit site.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's always good to have a bit of a mix, I reckon.
Yeah.
That's cool. And your involvement with Engineering New Zealand, first of all, maybe would you like to explain what a bit of that is like?
Some people might be aware or may have seen that Engineering New Zealand are doing a lot of work in the background to enhance their cultural capacity and inclusion of Māori engineers. So I've been doing a little bit of work in the background with a few other engineers and some Māori consultants to work out, you know, what we can do better for Māori engineers. There is a lot of work being done, and some of it is from the engineering news. A lot of it, sorry, would be from the staff at Engineering New Zealand, and we're working more as an advisory panel, and I'm fortunate to work alongside some really distinguished engineers, strong pō in their iwi. One of the most recent changes that was made is that they've made a role for someone on the board, and that came into action would have been a couple of months ago. So that's Wharehuia Dixon, which is really great to see, and he's a great rangatira of Becca. So, you know, a very experienced engineer, and also a very capable in te ao Māori. So it's great to see those sorts of things. And there's so many more things that have happened and much more to come, and we look forward to seeing all of that.
No, awesome. Say that there are people within the industry listening now who want to make the engineering industry a better place for Māori. What is it do you think that they can do?
Just a couple of things that I can think of at this stage would just be continuing to strengthen the cultural capacity of all of our members, cultural awareness. I've seen that there are a lot of companies out there who are doing cultural competency training, and they're doing it within Engineering New Zealand as well. And it's still surprising to hear from people that they have only just learned about the history of Te Reo Māori, the history of colonialism, the history of the New Zealand land laws. And a lot of this happened post 1840, so post signing of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. But yeah, it still surprises me that people are still learning of this, and it's something that everyone should know about our history. I don't follow the news too much, but I have seen that they are introducing it into the school curriculum.
They are. I think, yes. Or like in the next year, in the next while. But it is going to be part of all New Zealand history, as part of the history, which is really exciting.
Yeah. I think it's important to be able to understand the history and be able to learn more about the Māori culture of tangata whenua, because, I have witnessed there's still resistance to it, and it does hurt. It hurts that people don't want to know about our history or don't want to know about our culture, but it's the culture of, a treaty partner. Understanding the treaty as well. I think, there's that would help me appreciate or feel more comfortable if people were more aware of our history, of our culture, and accepting of our language.
When you were talking, like, I totally agree with you in that. And when you were talking about how or why you wanted to become an engineer, is because you wanted to understand why things work and how things work. And I think in all industry, not just engineering, we need to be better at understanding why things are the way they are. And with that comes learning about the Māori Language Act and Te Tiriti o Waitangi and all of our history that has led us to this point, because without knowing the foundation, I think going forward it makes it a lot more, or with learning the history, it makes going forward a lot more meaningful.
One thing I've learned in the past few years working in the engineering industry, that your expertise in the field is really important as an engineer, but what is more important than that is the people.
Mm.
How we interact with each other, how we collaborate with each other, how we get the job done as a team. And all from the start of the job to the finish of the job. And it corresponds with, you know, a Māori whakatauke, Māori proverb, kia ha te mea nui o te ao, he tangata, he tangata, he tangata. So it is really true what you say, that if we can better understand each other, we can better work together. And we need to have that. Yes, all different people should have that, but as engineers, we have that natural curiosity that we should want to understand better, understand each other more, not just understand the engineering sides of things, but what is most important, the people side of things.
Aye, and not just understand the nice stuff as well.
Yeah.
The easy to digest stuff.
Yeah.
Aye. Last couple pāpai. What are your ambitions for the future when you step outside this physical learning space of kura, of wānanga that you're in at the moment? And that can just be with yourself, that can be within the industry, however you want to answer that.
I would most definitely like to keep promoting te reo me ona tikanga. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I want Aotearoa to be more inclusive of our next generation. There are quite a few kids at my children's school, the local kura kaupapa, who cannot converse confidently in English. I want them to be able to be confident in speaking te reo wherever they go in Aotearoa. It is my desire that they would be able to do that, and I'd like to keep working towards doing that, and as well continue developing myself so I can better help those around me.
Aye. That's awesome. That's awesome. And what piece of advice would you tell someone listening where your stories really resonated with them in terms of intentionally reclaiming te reo or whatever language is their native? What piece of advice would you have for them?
Patua te taniwha whakamā. Any fears that you have, push them away and know that this is yours. It's for you. When you're ready, go for it.
Mm.
If you feel like you want to do it, karawhiua. It's yours and it's for you. It's for us and it's for us to share with each other.
Ai, kā rawe. I am all questioned out. Do you have any pātai for me?
Try and say this. I haven't worded it properly in my mind. But as someone who is looking to accelerate her real journey in the future, how does that look, and how would you encourage other people to do the same?
Mm. Good question. As a foundation, my real journey is beginning, and that's exciting. this is my second year of Kurapō through Te Wānanga or Aotearoa, and doing that has been amazing, or doing it is amazing. And I think it's hard when, well, it's not hard, it's really awesome when that 3 hours a week each night, I'm the regular, I know there's going to be immersiveness or full immersion te reo Māori, and that's something I really look forward to. So it's knowing that and having that as my kind of little piece, and knowing that I love it so much, and that it's, there's so much power within that, that I've tried to increase it more in different intentional ways. So like Pukapuka, different podcasts and stuff, to accelerate it just within this year, because I know that that's kind of my foundation. I'm really lucky and privileged to have that as my foundation, to know that I've got a certain amount of time each week to learn te reo Māori. But I think it's, I definitely understand and resonate when you said that it didn't quite grasp it within that environment, because it was going in and out of te reo Pākehā and te reo Māori, because it is easier to, I've been brought up te reo Pākehā, and it is easier because it's comforting to speak English all the time, because I know it. So you have to really make that physical step to step into te reo Māori, a te reo Māori space. So I think, yeah, to accelerate it, just at being intentional with where you can, and that is that, and that will break down the barrier of what's uncomfortable and comfortable, because it's kind of in your everyday in that sense. But I think in the future, I would really love to take intentional time out, just like you have, to do a full immersion year or however long that's able. But that's not for a while yet. I'm going to stick to being a graduate engineer for a little bit, I think, and then go to it. Just in case my employer's listening, you're good, I'll stay for a little bit. But yeah, that's a really long-winded answer to say, for someone who's kind of accelerated, I don't feel like I have. Like, I still feel the fuck in my every time of stuffing up and still giving it a go anyway. But I think people listening, what's been really helpful for me is enrolling in Kurapō. Really, really love it. And being intentional with how I use the different things that I use, whether that be Pukapuka or podcasts or Instagram and that sort of thing, following Māori spaces on there. So if that answers your question.
Yes, thanks for that. I would like to add, though, I do believe doing something is better than nothing. So I don't think you have to go into full immersion. I believe that full immersion is, you know, more of a accelerate path. But in saying that, whatever resources you have, go for it. Karawhiua. There's a group of us that we've just gone really hard out watching Māori TV and te reo channels. We're practicing now Mōtiatia at night. And I'm quite fortunate I've got my kids who want to learn as well. So I've given reading books a little break, even though I was reading te reo Māori books. We're just practicing Mōtiatia and Karaki at the moment. And it's all those little things, you know, if we do 1% every day, we're going to be 1% better. So I just have to give props to anyone doing anything that they can. And especially because even Kurapō is a big commitment as well. So I have to give it up to you as well. Mihi nui ki a koe. And this podcast as well.
Oh, ngā mihi nui ki a koe. Thank you very much. That means a lot. Shall we wrap it up, Ihoa? Awe. Mihi nui taua. Unuhia, unuhia. Unuhi ki te uru tapunoe, kia wāte, kia māma, te nākau, te tinana, te wairua, te ara tangata, koe rā i rongo, whakaere ake ki runga, kia tina, tina, hui e, tā ki e. Yeah.